Good morning once again. If you'll open up your Bibles to Psalm 22, we continue our series on discernment. And we wrapped up last week Christians and purpose. This week we look at Christians and parenting. Been a Baptist for any amount of time, you know this will be a sermon that will either really upset you, or one you're going to want to call some folks and say, listen to this message. And maybe they'll really get upset at the message itself. But understand, I don't lay claim to any of this being easy. I don't lay claim to any of it being original to me. The hardest sermons we're ever going to hear are going to be mostly God's Word. So let's read all of Psalm 22 together. This is a very important psalm. I trust it isn't the first time you've heard it, but if it is, pay attention. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now, we know these words echo into the New Testament, that this is very similar to what the Lord Jesus says from the cross. But for the subject at hand, and I'm going to read the whole psalm, I want you to imagine hearing that verse from your children. I want you to imagine Lindsay or Bailey or Isaac, one of your children, saying unto you, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the day. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. Verse 30, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, and he hath done this. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask your guidance. We ask, Father, that you draw our attention. Help us to see. Oh, in 2023, what a difficult message to deliver in regards to parenting, in regards to our children, in regards to the unknown and what lies ahead. We're not even equipped to handle the sin of this day without you. Scripture says sufficient enough is the grace that you provide for this very day, this very hour. It's not meant to go beyond this day. That we would come back again and again and again, seeking your mercy and seeking your leadership. And Father, I pray, if we have never done that, that this be the first of many, many, many days in which we fall upon our knees and plead for your mercy. We ask, Father, your mercy upon these following generations, your mercy upon our children. I know at least two in the room that aren't saved, that desperately need salvation. Help us, Father, as a church to see that we are ministering and standing for this truth, contending for this faith. Help us as parents to be sure, even parents of adult children, to be sure that we are training them in the right way. Father, be with this message, that you be heard, that you would increase and I would decrease, that we would leave this day humbled with plenty of work to do, but unashamed that we turn to you for strength to do it. We ask, Lord, all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I began to put my notes together for this subject and just a little behind the scenes, I had all these titles in mind for discernment. I've been praying over this series since I got back from the revival in Olmsted back in October. So I had a pretty good idea what all the names would be. I knew it was going to be Christians and some words starting with P because I had already picked all that out. But it struck me that Christians today are afraid to leave their homes. And maybe some will be surprised at that statement. Others will probably acknowledge that's absolutely true. We're afraid to lead our homes. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I mean, we have a president now that doesn't know how to lead, a president before that did and was attacked constantly, but there's probably some more close to home reasons why we're afraid to lead our homes. There's responsibility that comes with leading our homes. Gentlemen, you already have that responsibility. It wasn't a choice. It's not, I will choose to lead my home and therefore I accept the responsibility. It's more like you have that responsibility and you're told, you command it to lead your homes. We're quick to come up with excuses as to why our children misbehave, but when we do that, we say that the Bible is wrong. That God is a liar. But Scripture says God shall not be mocked. How many Bible stories do we know where the central character of that event in some way blames God, in some way says this happened as a result of, and they don't insert themselves next in the sentence. Beloved, either God knows how to instruct us and lead in our homes or he does not. And if he does know how and has given us provision, we need to attend to it. Are we afraid of leading in general, or is the leading of our children specifically what scares us? Men, why do we fear leading our wives? Parents, do we think it's an error of God's that he has seen fit to entrust us with children to steward? We way too often in this life refer to children as an accident, a mistake, or something we didn't see coming. You tell that to folks who've been trying for years. You tell that to folks who have had countless miscarriages or those who were never able to have children at all. Children are not an accident. They are not a mistake. Now, how they come about may be untimely. It may not be desirable. But then again, there were certain events that led to that. And that responsibility doesn't fall on God either. But as if he has chosen, if God has chosen to provide you with a child, with an offspring, with a baby, you have a responsibility to see that you are training it up well. We take our points directly from our text. Proverbs 22:6, we see an admonition and a promise. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child. I read Psalm 22 and Proverbs 22 is what I wanted. We must have needed Psalm 22 for a reason. So we now get to read Proverbs 22. And we'll trust the reasoning for that extracurricular reading to the Lord. Proverbs 22, much shorter chapter. That would have been an easier read. Proverbs 22, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. And our first point comes from verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Dave Ramsey's favorite verse. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That will be the text for our second point, the issue to be addressed. Verse 16, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the word of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. Another one Dave Ramsey refers to. This is entering into a usury or a trust or a loan. Verse 27, if thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. I do apologize. Proverbs 22 is our text. Proverbs 22:6 is where we get our text for this first point, the admonition and promise. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a simple and open promise that works both ways. Train them, and they will not depart from it. This is the process part of the promise. Train them, they will not depart from it. The admonition is train the way he should go. We refer to this a lot. I probably mention this every couple of weeks, but you are training them. Whatever it is you are doing, you are training them. You may not be training them in the way they should go, but you are training them, and they will not depart from the way in which you have trained them. Proverbs 22:6 is not an optional. If you select this like a choose your own ending book, then turn to page 22. Proverbs 22:6 is literally telling you, this is what's going to happen. I've given you a child that needs to be molded, and whatever you do, you're training them. Train them, the admonition, in the way that they should go. Because the promise is, you training them, they will not depart from it. If part of your secular work was to train new hires in the processes that someone in your position would be held accountable for, you would want to be sure you knew those processes. You would want to be sure you knew the right way to go before you trained someone else to do it. Fathers, mothers, your training manual. What we call in the business an SOP, standard operating procedure. It's right here. 66 books on what you are to do. Are you a father? There's directions in here. Are you a child? There's directions in here. Are you a new employee, born again recently? There's instructions in here. Are you at the end, wondering when the Lord will come? There's directions in here. Are you at the end, seeking retirement and to be done with such things? There's encouragement in here, and there is no retirement, by the way. How are they measured? You'd want to train this new hire in how their success would be measured, what they'll be held accountable for. Why would you not train your own child in that? There'll come a day of judgment, Delaney Grace, and you'll stand before God. And here is what He's going to hold you accountable to. If I don't have that conversation with my children, they're likely to fail because I didn't train them in the way they should go. I trained them up some other way that they will not stray from. What is the definition of success for this position? In Proverbs 22, we have a most blessed word, landmark. We specifically love that word. Verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. I need to tell my children about the landmarks. I need to tell my children what the Lord's church looks like, what faithful service looks like. I need to talk to them about tithing. Oh, mom and dad would never talk to a child about tithing. Oh, I should talk to my children about tithing because they shouldn't find out at 40 years old they should be tithing. They should have been tithing all along. My children, and I've been given some flack for this, but my children, from the first moment they came into any kind of money at all, whether they found a dime on the street or were given $5 from mowing a yard, they were encouraged to tithe. And I helped them figure out what 10% was. Because a child doesn't know intuitively, in case you didn't know this, what 10% of something is. I had to train them. I had to instruct them. I had to tell them right off the top, if this comes into your hand, you have a responsibility to honor God. I have to talk to them about what a love offering is. Because if they don't hear it from me, they will be lied to. And they will go in the way in which they've been led. We like to say they'll be lied to and blame the world. If I'm told to instruct them in truth and didn't give it to them, I'm the liar. I'm the liar. Guess what, parents of America in 2023? We don't get a free pass. I'm the liar. If I know the truth and I don't teach it to my children, if I know the truth as pastor and don't give it to you, I am the liar. I don't get to blame the world. I am not Hillary Clinton. I don't believe it takes a village. I believe if it did, God would have organized marriage to look very differently because it would have been a whole village. But He chose man and woman to endow and bless with a child, to raise a child. I know some families look a little different. Some families, aunts and uncles and grandparents are involved. The responsibility, mom, dad, is still yours. Some families look a little different. Their children are older, still act like children. The responsibility, mom, dad, is yours until you tell them that it's theirs. You have to tell. Who's going to come along and tell them? Is it to be my responsibility? The governor's responsibility? The president's responsibility? Guess what? Our politicians are more than okay with us never teaching our children to stand on their own two feet. That's where they're going to get socialism to work, is that generation that's been dependent on mom and dad, dependent on the government for their whole lives, they're going to say, yeah, sign me up. Where's the free meal? It is sad to see the pictures of all these tornadoes. But in the driveways of all those trailers are Cadillacs. Moms, dads, we need to point out to our children what's wrong with that picture. We need to point out to our children that there's not something wrong with trailers. Not at all. There's scripture here that says, that's fine. Don't enter into a usury. Are we talking to our children about what that verse means there in verse 25? Verse 26? Verse 27? Because scripture speaks to everything that we will ever come into contact with. If your child is 48 years old and you've never talked to them about these things, it's not too late. You're still here. Talk to them. It's better that you tell them the truth and they refuse you, that they get angry with you, than you holding the truth back and being a liar. Consider this other proverb for instruction, Proverb 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father. And attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In Proverbs 4, we see a son who received instruction from a father who is sharing that instruction here now. He uses words like, hear ye, get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, he says. Take fast hold of instruction. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. We just saw Balaam as an example of doing the opposite. Attend to my words. They are life unto those that find them. Keep thy heart with all diligence. This is the instructions of a father to his son. Can be the instructions of a mother to her daughter, or vice versa. Well, not the daughter to a mother, but you understand what I'm saying. This is the training. But I'll be one of them hard shell parents. That's a phrase that I'm coining now because that's what we're so afraid of, is it not? I don't want to be the hard shell parent. I want to tell my kids they can't listen to rock and roll music. I want to be that parent that is so concerned with what my kids wear that I don't know them. You ought to be. The world has given them a dress code. Shame on you that you didn't. The world is giving them a moral code. Shame on you that you didn't. Shame on me. Beloved, we will one day be aged, looking back on our parenting years, shaking our heads and wondering why we didn't put down our foot, why we didn't make a stand, why we didn't give them the truth when we had time. And it's going to pass by like a vapor. It's going to pass by so quickly. If you still have a voice in the life of your children, don't let the sun go down today before you use it. How is it in your home today? If you've never spoken to your child of any age like this proverb, Proverb 4, start today. Sister Sharon's going to sit down three of you before we leave this room. That's what a parent needs to do. That's what parents are called to do. Yeah, we're going to get back to Proverbs 22. We're going to talk about the rod in a moment. We're going to deal with what the scripture deals with. We all bellyache over the state of our country, claiming we need to take her back. I agree. Start with your homes. Because in 15 to 20 years, that will be our country. Will we still be trying to get them back, our country, in 15 years because we didn't teach them the right way to go? If so, you're going to lose this battle. We are going to lose this battle. We're fighting career politicians, amongst other things, when we should be trying to educate our children. Did you know the state of Mississippi just had a tremendous win this week? I know we've been distracted with tornadoes, but there was a very dangerous man put up for a superintendent of education for our state that didn't get it. Did you rejoice over that? I know we all can't homeschool. I know not everybody's called to do that. We're losing the battle with our children. Not the battle me against my children, but the battle for our children. Because we forsake teaching them, Satan does not. We forsake teaching them, and his demons, his angels, do not. His snares that have been put into place are doing real well, snatching them up one by one, sometimes in droves. If we do not take our homes back from Satan, we have no business asking for the Lord to give us our nation back. We've given it up. Our second point is the issue that needs to be addressed, Proverbs 22:15, our real text, Proverbs 22:15. And it says there, foolishness is abound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Some are going to hear that and say, that's just mean. Why would Scripture call our children fools? This is almost as a biology lesson. Foolishness is bound in the hearts of a child. They come out that way. So did we. They come out depraved. They come out wicked. You've all heard Zebediah's fake cries when he, at this very moment, is trying to distract Mama from hearing the sermon. You've heard these things. You know these things. And if you have a 30-year-old depraved baby at home, you forsook those things. That fake cry was a warning to you, Mama. Daddy, train them up in the way they should go. You're going to have your hands full when they reach 15, when they reach 20. And you might think, well, they won't be our problem soon. I think we've all seen evidence that's not the case in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. No one craves discipline. But the admonition of our text, the promise of our text, is that the rod of correction will drive foolishness that's bound in the heart of a child far from them. Remove television. Remove computers, remove cell phones, any other dangers if need be. This will seem impossible to many of us today, but those are as poison. Those are as frayed electrical cords laid over the playpen for our young people. They're as fire in a home, as an invasive predator. Would you not labor to remove your child from an asp's nest? From a serpent's nest? Would you, mothers, fathers, would you not dive in to retrieve your baby from such danger? Then why in the world do we strap devices to them when they're a little out of hand? Whose hand are they a little out of? Bring them back in. Whose hand are they a little out of? Yours! You are entrusted with those children, not Barney, not Bert and Ernie, not the baby shark. And I'm not going to sing the song. This is very serious, beloved. And there's not a one in this room that's not guilty of it. I'm sure of it. Not a one listening that's not wanting to turn it off. But think about it for a minute. When's the last time you went to the Berea Baptist feed on Vimeo, pulled up a Milburn Cockrell sermon, and said, you're a little out of hand, Junior. We're going to watch this fun video. And handed them a sermon. No, we don't do that. We hand them mindless, mind-numbing, constant singing, constant bright colors, but we don't hand them the Word of God. Maybe it's because we don't handle it well. But when they're a little out of hand, they're out of your hands, and you're handing them the world. Trust this device. It will give you instruction. And we're kind of like Catholics. You need salvation. You're saved. You need silence. You're silenced. We're pacifying a problem, and we're moving it into the future that it'll still have to be dealt with. If only we had a solution. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Your children are dealing with foolishness that won't be rectified by Oscar the Grouch. It's a foolishness that'll be rectified by the actual love of a parent. The correction given in the Bible itself. This verse reveals that foolishness is already in the heart of a child. This is not speaking to a young person's education. It's speaking to their depravity. Derek Landon's going to come home, maybe tomorrow, and you're going to think he is so wicked in a Tupelo hospital, among all the other problems we've had with them as a church in the last few years, they made your baby wicked. You did. And Milburn made you wicked, and his daddy made him wicked. And Adam, when we all fell, we all became wicked from birth. You all have your hands full because we're all sinners. I have my hands full because they're all sinners. I'm a sinner. And what keeps me from doing what the Bible tells me to do is my depravity. And the fact that we give ourselves a pass now. There's many parents in here that probably remember when that pass wasn't given. You've heard my brother say, I was a troubled youth. Boards broken off of me. Yeah, they were. I'm thankful for every one of them because those boards corrected me. I needed it. I was out of line. Mouth ran wild, which may have been worse than the stealing. I needed to be corrected. We get squeamish at the mention of the rod, but this is a biblical term. This book is either the inspired word of God or it is not. And if the inspired word of God tells us the means for removing foolishness from our children is the rod, then that's the way to remove foolishness from our children. If the way to save our child is to be sure they know discipline, to be sure they're trained up in the way they should go, then this divinely inspired word of God is telling us the truth. We ought to listen to it. If he assures us, as he does here, that the rod of correction shall drive foolishness far from our children, should we not do as though we are trying to save them from great harm? There's an amazing thing that happens when your children are familiar with discipline. My kids call it the dad look. I don't call my children out from the pulpit too often. Sometimes you might miss the looks. They know that look well. Not because I attack them at home and make them bleed, but because we discipline our children. Our children aren't in that nursery all that often, you might note. And that's because they know discipline. They know that life doesn't end here. They have to come home with us. They have to be corrected. Because that's my job. That's what I'm instructed to do as dad. You can call the authorities today and have them come to my house if you'd like, but I'm doing what the Bible's instructed me to do. You can check my children from bruises. You can inspect them and interrogate them, and they'll tell you, Mom and Dad don't beat us. If they're honest, they'll probably say we deserve it, but they don't. But they know discipline. My children know what it's like to lose things. I've seen plenty of other children in this life that seem to inherit everything my children have ever lost. They have everything they want. They get out of hand, they're given a new set of toys, a new game system. Children, what are we doing to these children? What are we going to expect from those adults one day? I don't like the candidates that are running. I'm sorry. What can I give you to pacify your feelings? We have a generation of millennial snowflakes now, and we all want to gripe about them, but we have to give them the gospel. That's our calling. We were snowflakes once too. We're going to have much worse than snowflakes if we don't take our homes back from Satan. I don't know that we have a chance to stop socialism from coming to America. It might be the reason we're not mentioned in the Bible. It might be what takes America out. Milburn warned against it 40 years ago. Many preachers have warned against it that knew history. My son Wednesday night picked up a Baptist Examiner, was reading one that, there was one in there from Abraham Lincoln, and there were a few others that talked about the signs of the times and warned of history. And he said, how come people don't write like this anymore? That haunted me. We talked about it the rest of the night. And I said, I think it's because we as preachers don't, as men, we don't know history well enough to know what's coming. We don't read. We're not encouraged to read. You know what we're encouraged to do? Work more. And we're encouraged to work more from every angle. You want that nice cell phone? It's designed to expire in at least a year. You'll have to go buy another one. And it will be $10,000 next year and $20,000 the year after. You like that car? It's designed to expire in 2.5 years. And so on and so on and so on and so on. I personally work a full-time job. I pastor, essentially full-time. with the banner and the bookstore and everything that goes with it. I'm not complaining about it. But what time do I have to go and read history? To understand what's coming because of what has been. The reason we don't have intelligent writers that speak to those things and we're all trying to put out the fires before us is because we've forsaken a lot of things, Christians. And it began with our homes. We launch our children on other people now. And it's almost like we're not even polling for the children to succeed. We just want them out. What kind of parenting is that? Proverbs 10:3 says, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." This word void means in need or lacking of understanding. How important is wisdom? Go back and read Proverbs 4 tonight. How important is wisdom? It is spoken of as very precious and hidden behind lips that have understanding. Who has been in your children's lives from the beginning with the charge of gaining understanding and then wisdom to impart it to their children? You, Mom. You, Dad. We're going to receive that, some of us, and say, well, that's not fair. There's nothing. Nothing in this Bible that speaks of fair except for the part that says all of us are deserving of hell. Because all of us have sinned. There's nothing in this book that describes our entitlement to fairness. That's an invention of man. And rather an invention of Satan that's been co-opted by man. Earlier we read this in Proverbs 4 verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. This is a dad talking to his son. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom, son, daughter, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. This is not some token advice from a stranger you just met, beloved. It's the word of God. According to verses 1 through 3, it was the counsel of a father to his son, written here from the perspective of that son. I think it's that much more meaningful, personally. When you hear the one on the receiving end of the rod talk about the value of said rod, that's pretty significant. And he says what? Wisdom is the principal thing. If wisdom is the principal thing, we should do all in our power to make sure our children have wisdom. We should do all in our power to preserve wisdom, to make wisdom available to our children. Don't believe me. The next time you put that stuff in front of your child, or your grandchild, you watch it with them. Take careful notes. So many since 2020 have said, where did the indoctrination begin? Where did this indoctrination begin? Watch that stuff with them. See what you find. See what you discover. In a most direct sense, this son is saying that this was given unto me by my father. It's most precious. Those in here today that don't have their fathers anymore, or perhaps don't have access to speak to them, for one reason or another, would you not give anything you could to have one more minute with them? Maybe your spiritual father, who sat and talked scripture with you. I think of Brother Jim Wilmoth. I used to go and spend every Monday with him. This is Rebecca's other grandfather. Every Monday we'd talk Bible. We'd talk church. At the time I wasn't pastoring. He'd charge me to make sure that we gave that pastor a raise. That pastor we had at that time was very good to us as a people. His heart was ever on the word. Ever on the work. And I would. I'd give up the car in the parking lot if I could have one more afternoon with him. Because wisdom is the principal thing. I've never felt that way about an inanimate object. I've never felt that way about some flesh-glorifying experience. I mean, I liked the Broncos Super Bowls, but I wouldn't give my car to watch them again. There's very little I wouldn't give up for one more afternoon with him. Wisdom is the principal thing. Why should we not spare the rod? Because wisdom is the principal thing, and our children's lives depend on it. Why should you not avoid the next uncomfortable experience to talk with your child about how they're raising their children? Because wisdom is the principal thing. You think your grandchild should be in church? Go get them. Go get them. Son, daughter, I'm coming to pick up little Junior. We're going to take him to church. Well, you shouldn't. It'd be an honor. I'd love to have him there with me. We're going to come. We'll pick him up. You want to come with us? You can ride with us too. Don't sit here and bellyache about how they're not here. Don't sit here and whine and cry about how they're not living a godly life. We have a responsibility here, and we don't get a free pass. If you fail to repent, ask the Lord what to do next. But you don't get to sit here and cry about it. You don't get to sit here and whine about past mistakes. We're spending way too much time doing that. Way too much of our future dedicated to crying about our past. I believe the phrase is, man up. Okay, this walk is hard. And it's hard for everyone. And we're making it harder for our children. Thirdly, lastly, what exactly is at stake? We see this in Proverbs 22, verses 28 and 29. Remove not the ancient landmark, which is thy father's, which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Doesn't say he'll sit. Says he'll stand. Remember what our subject is here. Christians and parenting. The landmarks of our Christian fathers are the foundations that we are concerned about. When we started this series, we looked at Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're damaging those foundations, not Christ Jesus, but the foundations concerning these landmarks when we do not uphold the word of God. Jude charges us to contend earnestly for the faith. Why would we contend earnestly for the faith with a bunch of strangers, but not our children, not our homes? That's where it starts. We talk about the percentages of broken homes. Who broke them? God didn't change marriage. We did. That's Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Was the text that started this entire study. Your direct impact on this verse is how you lead your homes. You have an impact on those ancient landmarks, on the foundations we're called to stand on. Think of it this way. You're not the enemy that your child is being trained to face. Satan is. When you spare the rod because you're afraid of being your child's enemy, you've left them wide open to Satan, who actually is that enemy. He's not looking to spank them, smack them, and discipline them to encourage good behavior. He's fine with whatever behavior they want to bring. How can you expect an adult to turn away from the way in which you've led them? If you spare the rod, you are raising a child with sin at the door, an ever-present danger that has been handled like a relative that is a long-standing house guest. How will they one day stand against what they have grown so comfortable with? How will they even be able to identify the enemy? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Revisiting this text once again, we see that this verse is an admonition to us, but it's for our children. There's a direction. He should go. When he is old, he will not depart. This verse is not about you, Mom. It's not about you, Dad. We're in the midst of, we're in a quandary, whining about how hard it is to spare not the rod. But it's not a verse about us. It's a verse about our children. Do you love them? Feed them. Do you love them? Lead them. Are we so cowardly that we will not wrestle for the blessing of our children? We're so caught up in saving America and pulling her back from the edge. We're raising a generation that desires the edge and is pushing it ever further forward. Proverbs 10:25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. It is this promise of God that led the Holy Spirit to give us the admonitions of this study. Here's the promise. Here is the pathway to uphold those promises and add value to it for your family. Behold, a new generation that cherishes the word of God will spring forward from the rod, will spring forward from the correction. We close with a proverb. Proverb 13, verse 20 through 24. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man, listen to this, parents. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. We hear that and we think of money. And a few words later we see wealth. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But the inheritance spoken of there is not money. You're not taking that with you. The inheritance spoken there of a good man leaving something behind is that foundation, are those ancient landmarks. It is what is most important, that being wisdom. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I'll leave you one more question. Does the Lord not chasten you? If he doesn't, you're not one of his. But if he does, you are one of his. And he chasteneth you because you're not bastards, you're sons. He loveth you. He leadeth you. That ith, an ever continual thing. If God the Father in his sovereignty has ordained for us to go in this method to lead our children, and he also practices that same method on us, is it not a worthy practice for us today?